So we're honored this morning to have some missionaries with us. I'm actually going to read the passage that of scripture that they left for us. You can follow along in page number 780. It's Esther chapter 4 and verses 12 through 14. And the word of God says, "When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer, 'Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this.'" So our guests today, they've been missionaries in Uganda for the past 2 years. They're getting ready to go back for another 4. I know that they have some connections with Pastor Al, but also with JD, our former pastor here. So I'm excited, and I would like us to give a very warm St. Paul's welcome to Josh and Kelly Hallahan.
Well, thank you. Good morning. It is a joy and a pleasure to be with you this morning to share, as Hector was saying, some connections for you. I grew up in Sicklerville, New Jersey, going to the Sicklerville Methodist Church, and so we sent Pastor Al to you. We love Pastor Al and Bev. They're great people, and so they spent a few years in Sicklerville. He had just come to Sicklerville just before we went to Uganda for our first term. But Kelly and I got to know him and Bev as well as we could for that short amount of time, and could sense the spirit in him, and he's a great guy. So we're glad that he's here with you all. And then, yeah, we have a connection with JD through Delanco Camp, and also Kelly's parents grew up in youth group with JD. And so they're really good friends. And so we have all these connections bringing us together, and so we are excited to be here and to share with you in Uganda about Uganda. And looking through your bulletin, I was seeing the missionaries there that you have. And so I know I can say with confidence on behalf of World Gospel Mission, thank you for your support. I saw the Bowens there and Joy Phillips, and also Billy and Joanna Coppage, who were our colleagues for a couple years there in Uganda. And so thank you for your support and your prayer for them and partnership with WGM around the world. We're excited about what God's doing in Uganda, and I'm going to tie it into the Esther story in just a minute, but I want to give you kind of some background on what God is doing today in Uganda, what God has called Kelly and I and our family to. Kelly had to step out with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is our baby girl. She's 6 months old. But we also have two older boys, Caleb and Seth, and they got to have some special grandparent time this weekend. So they're with Kelly's parents, going to church with them this morning. But Caleb is 7 and Seth, just turned 6. And so they were with us in Uganda for 2 years. They love it there. They're excited to go back, and we're excited to introduce Elizabeth to life in Uganda as well. So that's our family. We work with university students in Uganda. I don't know if you're like me, geography is not your best subject in school. Let me help you out. Uganda is in Africa, and it's, if you follow the equator around, and the equator obviously cuts right through Africa, it's on the eastern side of the continent. There's Kenya, which is on the coast, and then we're right next to Kenya. So that's where Uganda is, right above Lake Victoria as well. Beautiful, beautiful country. We live in Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda. Fairly modern, as modern as it gets there in Africa for a city. We love it there. Our boys have a great Christian international school that they go to. They're very eager to get back to. But again, we work with university students. I'm not singing. um, She did good enough. I don't need to do that. No, I'm not. That was funny. We found out an interesting statistic in Africa, the entire continent of Africa. What we have found out, WGM, is that only around 1% of the entire population of Africa will ever have the opportunity to go to and graduate from a university level of education. 1%. I did a little bit of looking around. Google is a wonderful thing. And here in the States, it's around 30%, if not a little bit higher. So on the entire continent of Africa, only 1% have the opportunity to go to university. About 10 years ago, in Kampala, a man named Kennedy is from Kenya. He came over to Uganda to do his studies. He's a believer, loves the Lord, grew up in a church that World Gospel Mission started in Kenya many, many years ago. But he came over to Uganda, and he felt a burden on his heart to start a Bible study on his campus. There was no Christian group meeting at that time, and so he started a Bible study, just three or four guys meeting once or twice a week on this campus. This campus, this university is a secular university. It's actually owned and run by a Muslim man, and a lot of Muslims are in the administration. But Kennedy stepped forward in obedience, started this Bible study 10 years ago, and God touched it and blessed it. And Kennedy grew through, God used Kennedy to grow that into a full-fledged student-run church meeting on this campus. At its peak, Kennedy graduated and stayed behind to run this church. At its peak, they were seeing around 700 students coming out on a Sunday morning to worship. Many involved in Bible studies and small groups. All because one man felt led to start a Bible study. He said yes to that, and God touched it and blessed it and has grew it. And so our mission, we had a relationship with Kennedy because of his church back in Kenya, said, you know what? Here is an opportunity to partner with Kennedy and to have an influence on the future leaders, really, of Africa. Obviously, Uganda, Kenya, the neighboring countries for sure, but we've seen from a dozen or so different countries represented within the student body. So here's an opportunity to touch, yeah, technically a small percentage, the 1%, but these are the ones who will go out and be the leaders. These are the ones who will go out and can drive change in their communities, in their countries, where it's so desperately needed. Because these are young men and women who want to be teachers, who want to be involved in government, whether it's a future president or a local government official. These are young men and women who want to be lawyers and fight for justice for their people. These are young men and women who want to be doctors and nurses, business leaders. These are the ones who, if they're solid in their faith with Jesus Christ, can drive the change, who can make a big difference for their country, for their community. So we began partnering with Kennedy those 10 years ago and have walked with him ever since, have seen this ministry continue to grow. We're now on three campuses there in Kampala, and we're poised to continue spreading out. And we're seeing God open doors that just blow us away. And so Kelly and I, when we arrived about four years ago, for our first term, said, you know what? We felt God stirring in our hearts. We said, let's also work with Kennedy. And Kelly and I focused on the student leaders within that ministry. On any given semester, we have about a dozen to two dozen student leaders who rise up and they say, you know what? They're believers. We want to take leadership responsibilities in this church. What can we do? And so we want to disciple them. We do disciple them, make sure they're solid in their faith because they're the ones reaching out to their fellow classmates there on the campus. And so Kelly and I help provide this discipleship opportunities, leading small groups, doing different trainings and leadership development. And then also when we go back, we're going to be helping them create a plan to expand. As I said, we're on three campuses now, and we're trusting God, and God is opening doors for us to be on a few more as well. And so that's kind of what we do. Maybe the best way to give you an idea, I'll tell you two brief stories, and then I'll jump into the scripture. The types of students that we get to work with. The first one is my best friend there in Uganda. His name is Edwin. Edwin is also from Kenya, and Edwin, when I arrived in 2011, Edwin had just graduated from Kampala International University. That's where we're at. Sorry, I forgot to say that. He graduated from KIU. He has a degree in business management. And so here's Edwin, one of those 1% who had the opportunity, the blessing, the privilege to go to university, and he made it through. He has a degree. And Jesus did a funny thing in Edwin's heart upon graduating. Edwin was one of our leaders in the ministry, and he approached us and he said, you know, I feel like the Lord is asking me to remain behind and help run this church. Is there opportunities? And we welcome that. Anytime a student comes to us and says that, and I think today they have two current graduates who have remained behind to help run this ministry. Edwin is one of them. And so Edwin said, you know, I want to stay. I want to give back. I want to be a part of this ministry still. Here's what you need to understand, why this is so amazing. Because when Edwin was going through his university education, many people back home in Kenya, family, neighbors, other relatives, gave financially for him to get through university. And there's a huge expectation upon Edwin's life, now that he has a degree, to go and find a job. You know, we expect our graduates here to do that. It is huge over there. Edwin, go find a job because you need to give back. You need to support someone else in your home community, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a neighbor. You need to begin helping someone else get through university. That is a huge expectation upon him. And so when Edwin goes to visit family and he says, you know, I think I'm going to stay behind in Kampala and help the missionaries there with the church on the university campus. They'll say to him, and they're believers, they love Jesus, but they'll say to him, okay, that's fine. How much are you going to get paid? And he has to say, well, I'm not really guaranteed anything. And we've put some things in place to take care of his basic needs, but he's not making nearly what he could make if he went and used his degree and got a job. But now, for 3 years, Edwin has said yes to the call that Jesus placed in his heart and is saying no to a cultural expectation upon his life. But he's being obedient to Jesus. And every time he goes home to Kenya, Kelly and I kind of look at each other and we're like, I wonder if they'll let Edwin come back to Uganda. Because I know every time he goes, they're saying, what are you doing? Go and find a job. But it's been amazing to walk with Edwin. And Edwin and I have a conversation many times over where he says to me, he says, Josh, I don't know why God allowed me to get a degree, but I'm not using it. But he's asked me to be here at the church. But then he'll say to me, but I know that this is where I need to be. I know that this is where God has called me to be. And I'll continue doing it until he releases me to do something else. And I know that Edwin will not always be with us in Kampala. I know that he'll leave. I think he'd be a great pastor someday. And I tell him that all the time. Maybe he'll go into business. Maybe he'll go into ministry. But here's what I know. Because Edwin has said yes to Jesus, even when it didn't make sense. He said yes to Jesus. Edwin is going to continue to make a difference in that part of the world. Because he's saying yes to Jesus. The other story is about Isabella. And this is, Isabella is a good friend of Kelly's. Isabella was in a small group that Kelly led when she first got there. And here, the thing you need to know about Isabella is she's pretty petite. She's a pretty, she's pretty in features, but a pretty small girl as well. But Isabella is one of those people that if you give Isabella a task, she's going to get it done. And if someone were to step in her way, she's going to knock them out of the way. She's just feisty, passionate young lady. Loves the Lord. Isabella wants to be a lawyer. And Isabella is, again, she loves the Lord. She wants to fight for those who need someone to stand up and fight for them. And in that part of the world where ugly things like child sacrifices still happen, where witchcraft is there, injustice, corruption is in your face, rampant everywhere, we need someone like Isabella who's not going to back down, who's going to fight for justice in the name of Jesus. And so Isabella right now, she graduated from the university where we're at. She was part of our ministry. And now she's back home in Kenya, in Nairobi, in graduate school, studying to become, she told us she wants to be an advocate. Not exactly sure what that means, but I know advocate. She's going to be someone who's going to speak up for someone who needs her. And I know, again, that Isabella is going to make a difference in people's lives for the cause of Jesus, because she's passionate about Jesus and she's passionate about justice. And so those are just two students that we get the privilege to work with, who are going to, they're going to be game changers. And God's going to use them. And there's so many others that I could tell you about. But let me kind of tie this in to the Esther story. I don't know when the last time was that you read through Esther. I'd encourage you. It's not a very long book. Read the whole story. It's a beautiful story of God using an unlikely person to accomplish a pretty amazing task. And so, as Hector read, at this point in the story, Esther has gone from being an orphan to now she's queen. She's had nothing. She now has everything. And the kicker is, she's a Jew. Her people are in exile. Her people are spread out. And here she is, this orphan Jewish girl, queen to probably at that time, if not the most powerful man in the world, definitely one of the most powerful men, kings in the world. Not a Jew. And here's Esther, his queen. And a plot has been unfolded by a man named Haman. Haman, if you and I were to see Haman on the street, we would have to physically bow in recognition of how great Haman is. But Mordecai, Esther's uncle, refused to do that because Mordecai loves the Lord and would bow to no man. And so when Haman found out about it, the Bible says that he burned with anger. And he got permission from the king to not just get rid of Mordecai, but to annihilate the Jews. To remove them physically from the face of the earth. Permission was given. A timeline was set. God has to do something big here. And so Mordecai goes into prayer. And he sends word to Esther. He says, Esther, basically, now's the time. Esther, God is inviting you to be a part of his plan to save his people. Esther, would you go before the king, reveal to him that you are a Jew, and ask him to save the Jews, to get rid of this plan to annihilate the Jews. Can you imagine being in Esther's shoes? You had nothing. You now have everything. You've kept one little thing a secret, that you're a Jew, and now your uncle's asking you to risk it all. And Esther, I mean, her life was literally on the line because she had to, number one, be invited by the king just to see him, to be in his presence. And Esther sends word back to Mordecai. She says, you know, I can't do this. The king hasn't asked me to come lately. If I show up, he could have me killed, or, it's kind of a 50-50, he could tip his scepter towards me, giving me favor, but then she still has to plead her case. Then she still has to say, I'm a Jew, and, you know, would you save our people? And so, Esther, the first time Mordecai sends word to her about this, Esther sends word back, I can't do this. There's no way. God's got to, you know, find another way, Uncle Mordecai. I can't do this. I'd be the first one in saying that. No way. Literally risking everything. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. Don't ask me to do that. But then in the verse that we read, in verse 12, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, those were those words of Uncle Mordecai, I can't do this. I can't go before the king. No way. He sends back that answer where he says, you know, don't think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. He says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to royal position for such a time as this. I think there's a lot in these few short verses. First of all, Mordecai tells Esther this interesting thing. He says, you know what, Esther? If you remain silent, what does he say? He says, God will still act. He said, help, deliverance, relief, and deliverance for the Jews will arise from someplace else. Here's what Mordecai knows. God made a promise long before this story that his people, the Jews, would never be annihilated, that he would protect them forever. So Mordecai's holding on to that promise. And he's telling Esther, he says, Esther, you know, I think God wants to use you, but listen, you have a choice to make. You can be silent. You can stay there in the queen's quarters and be comfortable. God will still save his people. Now he does tell her, but she will still perish. What about you and I, though? How many times is God asking us to partner with him and we say, that doesn't make any sense, or that's too uncomfortable, or someone else is more gifted, more talented than me, they have more money, they have more experience, whatever it may be. God, use them, not me. We have that same choice that Esther has. We can remain silent. I don't know that our punishment will necessarily be death, as Mordecai said it would be for Esther. But here's what I do know. If Esther had remained silent, not only Mordecai says she would perish, but Esther would have missed out on the blessing of partnering with her Creator, with God. And church, I know I'll be the first one to admit, there have been far too many times where I have missed out on that blessing. Because I said, God, that doesn't make sense. God, I can't do this. I'm scared, I'm nervous, whatever the excuses are. And sometimes they're really good excuses. But God says, just trust me. Just take that step forward. You know, I think 10 years ago, when Kennedy came over from Kenya to a university with no Christian groups meeting on the campus, and he felt God say, Kennedy, start a Bible study. How easy would it have been for him to say, no, just let me do my education, do my studies, and go back home to Kenya. He had a strong church back home, but he didn't remain silent. He said yes. And God has now turned this into a movement happening in Kampala. How easy would it have been for Edwin to say, okay, I got my degree, I helped out in the ministry at the church while I was doing my studies. Now let me go back to Kenya, find a job in business, and make some money. But he didn't. He didn't stay silent. For Isabella, you know, I pray for Isabella because people in that position that she's trying to get in, corruption is there. I pray that she will continue to be a passionate young lady who will stand up for truth and will not fall in to the status quo of those with power who begin to abuse it. And I don't think she will. I pray that she stands firm in her faith and does the right thing. So I want to kind of wrap it up and invite you this morning. In general, what is God inviting you to? What is God asking you today to partner with him in? Because I firmly believe that until our last breath, God is asking us to partner with him. And it throughout different phases of our lives, it looks different. But God is always wanting us to partner with him. So what could it be? That's between you and God. You know, one thing as I was sitting here,
You have a VBS coming up. What an awesome opportunity to partner with God when you don't even have to leave this building. They're coming to you. Could you partner with God in the VBS program this summer? And I'm sure there are countless other ways to do it through the ministries of this church. But maybe it's something big. Maybe God's been asking you to do something for a while. You've just kind of been, wrong person, wrong guy, wrong girl. Maybe today's the time where you can just say, God, work in my heart. Help me to be willing to just say yes to you. And let him do that. We want to invite you, if God stirs in your heart, to be a part of what he's doing there in Uganda. In the back we have our table, and you can check out some pictures and kind of see it through the photos of what it looks like, and we can answer any questions that you may have. We also want to invite you, if you want to take a prayer card, you're making no commitment by taking this card whatsoever. But you see the picture, you'll see our two boys, our whole family, and then on the back is our contact information and also different ways for you to pray for us, but also for this ministry as well. We also, there's a sign-up sheet in the back for you to sign up for email updates, prayer requests, so you can jot that down if you're interested. And then the other thing is financial, if you want to be a financial partner of this ministry. Now, God has done some awesome things. We leave on July 17th. It's coming very quick, too quick. We bought those plane tickets, and it's a bit of a step of faith because we're not quite funded. But our mission felt confident that God was going to bring it in. And so right now, the need for this ministry is around, we've been breaking it down into $40 a month pledges, or whatever that month is, that amount is a year. We need 8 more of those, and the need is met. $40 a month, we need 8 more of those pledges. Or the annual gift is $480. So that's the white card. If God stirs in your heart to be a financial supporter of this ministry, you can take that white card and fill it out and give it to us today, or there's an address on the bottom for you to send it into WGM. And we'll answer any questions that you might have, but all that's there in the back. I want to pray, but I want to leave you with that question. What could it be that God is inviting you to do today in partnership with him? Would you say yes? You have a choice. You can remain silent, or you can say yes. I pray for myself, I pray for you, that every day we'll say yes to his invitation. We won't regret it. Let's pray. God, thank you that you seen us worthy enough to partner with you, that you've invited us into that. So God, I pray that my heart and the hearts here, that we would be open to you, open to your invitation, and say yes to you. God, we don't do this for ourselves. We do this for your glory, for your honor. God, I pray for Brick, for St. Paul's Church here in Brick. I pray that this church would continue to be a light in this community, that your truth would emanate through this building, through these people as they go, and that this community would come to know you because of the obedience of this church. And God, if you want us to stretch out further than Brick, further than New Jersey, into Uganda, maybe someplace else, would we be obedient to that? And we do this for your glory, for your honor. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Josh. Actually, before we sing the hymn in response, I should ask you to stay up here, Josh, because we want to take a moment to pray for Josh and Kelly. She's probably still out, right? So we want to pray for you guys, if you don't mind coming up, and we'll pray for you together as a church. I want to remind everyone that we are taking up a love offering today. I believe that we'll have some ushers in the narthex or some baskets set up in the narthex. So if you were blessed, please consider blessing Josh and Kelly as well. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for your calling, God. We thank you for all the opportunities that you've opened up for Josh and Kelly and their children as well. God, we just ask for a blessing upon blessing in their life, God, that would pour out into the lives of those students that they influence. God, we pray for that entire nation, God. We pray for that region. We pray for Uganda and Kenya and Ethiopia and any other nation near there, God. We just ask, Lord, that that you would speak your very words through the Hallahans and that they would, those words, God, would then change that region. We just ask for souls, God, and we ask for the worst. And we thank you so much for just the word that you spoke through Josh, and we pray that it would challenge us and continue to challenge us as well. Thank you so much for them, God, and we just ask for refreshing, for provision, and for protection. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.